Pastor Paul forgot he was going to be gone today, so I brought that to his attention the other day, and he said, I lied to the church, so you can give him a hard time when he comes back. If you have your Bibles, this is an easy one for you. Turn to Genesis. You don't have to go very far. Chapter 7. I'm going to talk about the door today. Doors are important. We take them for granted. When you came here today, somebody opened the door, or you had to open it yourself, and you came in. When Derek was a young man, he was at his grandparents' house. And Grandma told him to go out on the patio, the back porch, and get the broom. And he said, Grandma, I'm scared. He said, Jesus is out there. Are you sure? Yeah, Jesus is everywhere. But Derek went up to the door and said, Jesus, if you're out there, could you hand me the broom? So you see, doors are important. They let things in and they let things out. A couple of years ago, I was out getting ready to plant a bush. In the bottom of the fence line, some bees decided to join me. And they chased me all the way around the back and into the patio. And when I shut the glass door, they were still outside waiting. And I was running across the yard just doing all this. And one of my family members, who will go nameless today, laughed so hard I thought they were going to have a heart attack. But I was scared. So the door is important in our life. In chapter 7 of the book of Genesis, look with me at verses 12 through 16. He said, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his son with them into the ark. And they and every beast after his kind, and all cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went unto Noah, and they went in with unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut the door. As we remember Genesis, this period of time, it was wicked. Sometimes I think it's just like it is now, with the wickedness that's going on in the world. But it was very wicked, and God doesn't like sin. And sin has to be, a penalty has to be paid for sin. And God decided that the punishment must come, judgment must come. You know, and there's times in our life we get away with things, but after a while somebody finds out and we're in trouble. A couple years ago, I pulled into the garage and I'd left one of the cabinet doors open, and I banged the front of the car and put a little dent in the bumper. A couple weeks later, my wife comes in, and her and Jen had been somewhere. She comes in and she says, I'm sorry. That door was open, and I pulled in and hit the bumper and put a dent in it. And I said, well, I did too a few weeks ago. That didn't go over very well. Somebody knows what you did sooner or later. So you see, sin must be punished. And God saw that wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. In chapter 6, verse 7a, he said, I will destroy man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God gives Noah shipbuilding instructions. And I thought about this. You know, the pyramids always make me appreciate architect in the fact that they didn't have the machinery that we have today. But yet they build those massive pyramids. And then we see this giant ship that's being built. And nobody had ever seen a ship like this before. Nobody had ever seen rain before. And God said, I'm going to judge my people, and they're going to have to pay the penalty for their sin. So God gives Noah this shipbuilding instructions. And so he begins to build, and I don't remember how long it took him to build it, but I've been down to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky and saw the Ark down there and gone through it. Pat and I went down a few years ago. And it's amazing how big it is. And it's to the same size, basically, as the Ark that Noah built. And they built this beautiful Ark to protect the animals as well as Noah and his family. And I thought about this as God began to call Noah to build this ark and to bring this ark to fruition. He called them to get on the ark. But I want you to notice something. When God called the animals to get on, Noah didn't say, here, giraffe, here, elephant, here, snake, here, mouse. They all got in line and come on. God's plan, he sets everything in order, and it's done in decency and order. And man didn't know what rain was, but God showed them what it was, and they begin to build the ark, and people made fun of Noah. They made fun of the building. They made fun of the sons, and God took care of them and made them safe in the end. So I think about the ark was three stories. He gave them the instructions on how to build it. He said, now I want you to build three stories. And did you ever think about the three stories of the ark? Did you ever stop and think about the window that went around the top? I never thought about this till I was researching some stuff. I know what, I've seen the ark and the window, and I've seen all of that. But do you realize that that was open, and God left that for ventilation? And you know, it had to smell a little bit. And God took care of that problem. And he made the roof a little bit longer so the rain wouldn't come in. And the ark wasn't constructed to keep out a storm, but just to keep out the rain. God had all this plan, and he has our lives planned if we'll just listen and heed to what he has to say. And it was built of gopher wood, strong and durable, and it was put pitch in to keep it from leaking. And it was 450 feet long. That's a football field and a half long. It was 75 feet wide and 45 feet tall. And these guys didn't have all the equipment we had today, and they built the ark according to God's qualifications. Then we see it was time to go in, and God shut the door. He shut out the rain, and he even shut out those that wouldn't listen to him and call upon his name. And as the rain began to come, they wondered what it was. And it kept coming, and it kept coming for 40 days and 40 nights. And I can hear in my mind the people screaming as the water got higher. I can hear the people as they begin to claw on the outside of the ark. Let me in. Let me in. But God had shut the door. When God does something, he does it completely. He finishes the task. He gave the people a chance to repent. He gives us a chance to repent today. And if we neglect to accept that call, then God's going to shut the door on us one day. So it seems that the animals were willing to do what God says, but the people weren't. They did not heed to him. And they that went in, male and female, all flesh, as God had commanded, and the Lord shut the door. Can you imagine going into a place for 370 plus days and no cell phones, no TV, no TV dinners, no steak on the Barbie, no other outside communication? All you had was your wife, three sons, and three daughter-in-laws, and a lot of animals. But I think God took care of all that. I think Noah built an ark that took care of all the different sizes of the animals. I think the giraffe or the elephant or whatever big animals had plenty of room. But you know, the little mice and the little snake, all they needed is a little corner. They had plenty of room for everything. God has room for all of us. Even when he shuts the door, God has everything for us. Luke 14:17 says, "Come, for all things are new," a gospel feast. Revelation 22:17c says, "He will give us the water of life freely." So God takes care of us. He appreciates you and I listening to him. Just like our children, sometimes they don't listen. Then they pay the penalty. My dad got smarter as I got older. You ever notice that? Parents get smarter when you get older. The Lord said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house." Everybody in your family, because that you have found grace, you have found righteousness, you have followed me, you have done to my account what I have asked you to do, and you had faith in me, and now come into the place of safety. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God's got a place for us. God takes care of us. Think about that word, come. Remember when Peter was walking on the water? He walked out on the water and he saw Jesus, Jesus walking on the water. And Peter said, "Lord, if that's really you, bid me to come." And Jesus began to call Peter out, and Peter began to walk. And he was actually walking on the water. But he turned his eyes away from God. Peter got that great word, come. One of the greatest words in the English language, or in any language, is the word, come unto me. Come. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Peter walked on that water, took his eyes off of Jesus, and then Jesus had to rescue him. So he's always there. He's always there to take care of us. He's always there to help us when we're in times of need. John 11:28 says, Mary told Martha that the Master has come and he calleth for you. The Master comes. He calls for us. And then we come. What a great invitation. Can you imagine sitting down with an apostle someday? Can you imagine talking to Peter about his orneriness? Talking to Peter about being like you and I? Some days we're good and some days we're not. Can you imagine sitting around the throne talking to Jesus and being down on our knees praising him forever and ever because we answered the word come and we answered the call? Come to a place of safety. He also give you friendly fellowship. He'll give you Christian brothers and sisters. You know, my Christian family is closer to me than my real family. You know why? Partially because they have more in common with Jesus than my family members do. Just think about that. My daughter in South Carolina just went through a tremendous ordeal. She had problems with her gallbladder. After surgery, she had complications. So who do we call? We call friends that knew how to pray. And I'm happy to report that she's home and doing well after a long battle. So you see, he says, come unto me and I'll give you friends. I'll give you people that care. I'll give you a safe place to live, a safe place to go to when this life is over. So when Martha was told that the Master wanted her to come, she came. We need to come to Jesus, not just when we need him, but we need to come and thank him for all the things that he does for us day in and day out. Come to the place of safety. Come to the place of peace. Come to the place of contentment. Come to the place where Jesus takes us in like he did the little flock, like the shepherds take the little flock and put them in a little pen and lay across the gate. Jesus is there to protect us. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Isaiah 1:18 says he'll give you a personal cleansing. It means your sins will be forgiven. And there's one thing about when God does something, he does it right. When God cleanses a sin, he cleanses a sin. We don't have to worry about that. It's gone forever. As the water went under the bridge and down the river, never to be remembered anymore. Isaiah 55:1 says he will want you and do with you what you and do for you what you need. Matthew 11:28 says he'll give you rest for your soul. Matthew 22:4 says, "Come as an urgent invitation." Come is important. It's necessary for us to come to receive anything. I always get tickled at people that want to give you something, and the people they want to give it to said, "Bring it to me. I got some vegetables in the garden for you. You bring them to me." No, that's not the way it works. I got the vegetables. You come and get them. Jesus said, "Come unto me. Come, for all things are new. Come, he will give us water of life freely." It's free indeed. God takes care of us in all our needs. Not all our wants necessarily, but all our needs. "Behold," he said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Again, that's the greatest word that we ever hear, is Jesus saying, "Come on to me. Come on to me." He told Peter, he said, "Come and I'll make you fishers of men." Not fishers of fish, but fishers of men. And Peter became a great disciple, even though he had his problems. He still loved the Lord. Think about it. Spending eternity with God should be our focus. Should be our goal, is to press towards that mark. Think about this. Revelation 21:14 says, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. For the former things have passed away. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He should be everything to us. He cares for us. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, chapter 8, verse 1 says. And God remembers. Aren't you glad God doesn't forget? You ever get up to go get something and forget what you went to get? If you haven't, you will. It'll come. Sometimes it comes earlier to some than others. But God will never forget you. I heard a story the other day about a veteran that had died. When it came time to bury him, he had no family. He had no friends. And people heard about it. And they came together and they honored him at the cemetery. He had no one. And then the neighbors found out and they honored him. We don't have to worry about that. God will never leave us or forsake us. Shut in doesn't mean shut off. It means that we're with God forever. It means that we have all the comforts of home. Maybe not the iPhone or the television, but we have all the comforts of Jesus Christ, because we won't need those things. Judges 16:28 says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord, remember me. I pray and strengthen me. Pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Genesis 19:29 said, "God remembered Lot. He sent Lot out in the midst of the overthrow when he threw the cities into chaos, and God protected him. When the fire came on Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was spared because God took care of him. God's men pulled Lot back at the house when he was at the house, and the people come and wanted to drag him out to do bad things to him. God protected them, and the men pulled him back in the house and shut the door and protected him. God remembered Rahab when the Jericho walls were coming down. God protected her. God remembered the blood on the doorpost for the people that were bound in Egypt, that in bondage. God protected them because of the blood that was applied to the doorpost. God remembers. God doesn't forget. When the death of an angel passed by, they were spared because of the blood. John 10:9-10 says, "Enter the door and be saved." Remember the story of the bridegroom and the maids? They were waiting for the wedding, and it came time for the wedding, and five didn't have the oil. Five were foolish. They went to the door and knocked, and they couldn't get in because they had shut the door. When God shuts the door on your life, He protects you. Takes care of you. Even when you're going through discouragement, you have the promise that I'm with you and I'll never forsake you. Think about that. I remember when I went into the service and that TI came out of that building. It was dark. Got off that bus, and he got off and walked down with that Smokey the Bear hat. I had never been away from home that long in my life. And he looked at us, and he couldn't see us because it's dark. And he said, "You know, you're the worst group of recruits we've ever had." I knew I didn't belong there, but God took care of me. When God shuts the door one place, He'll open the door another place. God remembers us. And you know what? Even after the flood, man did not remember what had taken place. They went back to sinning. So as far as the door being closed, sometimes it's closed because God stops us from going and doing something else. God stops us from going and doing something else and getting hurt. Did you ever stop and think about it, listening to an accident or a shooting? I was sitting at home one evening after I got off work years ago, and I was listening, and there was a newscast on, and it said there was a shooting at this store. And the manager ran after the guy that stole the money. And they got into a shootout on the corner of Abbey and 3rd Street. I lay there on the couch, and I looked at that TV, and I said, "I was just there a little while ago. That could have been me that got in a crossfire." And today, look at how evil things are. The shooting in Arkansas is just one of many that's happened in the last little while. And it's going to get worse because sin has not been stopped. Man continues to disobey God. Man continues to walk away from God and not listen to life-saving information. So when Paul was stopped from going to Asia, he went to Macedonia. What happened in Macedonia? Well, sometimes when the door is shut, we may go through heartaches and hardships. Paul got thrown in prison in Philippi. But look what happened. Jailer and his whole family were saved. I thought about the Ethiopian eunuch. He needed somebody to come. And God sent somebody that was preaching a revival. And he sent Philip over. And the man was saved. So when God shuts the door, we may go through the heartaches, but God has it all in control. So as we conclude this morning, we need to think about this. God gives us instructions. He gave Noah instructions on how to build the ark. And then He said, come, and I'll shut the door. Just come. Just come obediently to the Lord. You don't have to bring anything. Just come yourself. Then He says, "I remember. I remember you." Yes, God knows you. God knows me. God loves you. God loves me. And we're His children. You would do anything in the world for your children, no matter how old they get. Even if they've been bad. I knew a lady that years ago, she was a good Christian lady. She was painting her ceiling in her 80s. She lived by herself. She'd outlived two or three husbands. Her son got out of jail. She was sitting there watching TV one night. She loved her son. He was watching TV. There was a holdup in a bank in Springfield. And there was her son being arrested. She still loved her son, but he broke her heart. God loves us. Don't break his heart. Let's pray today. Brother Derek will come and conclude. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be together. We thank you for your word that won't return unto you void. We pray, God, this evening or this afternoon that, Father, if there's somebody here that's lost, that this will be the day that they come and surrender their hearts to you. God, if they have problems or heartaches, let them turn to one another, to brothers and sisters that can help them pray and go to you in prayer, and you can answer their prayers according to your will. Lord, help us today. Keep us safe. Keep us humble, Lord, and have your way in the rest of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.